Today we're going to go a little bit different way. And before we did, I got an email that I just think is worth reading. Some of y'all may have seen this or not, but it's y'all know who Larry the Cable Guy is. Well, Larry's written some proverbs, and I don't think he's as wise as Solomon, but these are pretty good proverbs. A day without sunshine is like night. On the other hand, you have different fingers. That's good. 42.7% of all statistics are made up on the spot. 99% of lawyers give the rest a bad name. Remember, half the people you know are below average. He who laughs last thinks slowest. Depression is merely anger without enthusiasm. That's great. The early bird may get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese in the trap. Support bacteria. They're the only culture most people have. A clear conscience is usually the sign of a bad memory. Change is inevitable, except from vending machines. You got to think about that a little bit. I know these are deep. If you think nobody cares, try missing a couple of payments. How many of you believe in psychokinesis? Raise my hand. I like that.
That's good.
Okay, we know what the speed of light is, so what's the speed of dark? That's pretty good. When everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. Hard work pays off in the future. Laziness pays off now. I like that one. How much deeper would the ocean be without sponges? Eagles may soar. This guy is smart, man. Eagles may soar, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines. I'm going to use that one at work. Eagles may soar, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines. What happens if you get scared half to death twice? Why do psychics have to ask your name? Light travels faster than sound. That's why some people appear bright until you hear them speak. And that's probably to me. I'm not going to read a couple of them, just because we don't have time. Anyway, some things are real clear. And some things, until you see it or you think about it when something's said, you know, it's like you know it, but sometimes it's like, hey, I never thought of it that way. The Word of God can be the same way a lot of times. I can't imagine all the scriptures I read now that I've read before. And it's like, hey, I just thought of that. Paul read in Bible study this morning a scripture talking about being in Christ. And I don't know why I've always read it as just like it's with Christ. And it just all of a sudden made all the sense in the world to me. So I challenge you to study your Word. I also challenge you, a lot of people ask me, how do you study? How do you remember this? What do you do to study? I'm having trouble getting started studying. And I thought the best answer I could think of is take notes. I mean, if you take notes of what's being taught in your class or in here, you have something to go back and read. Not only that, it's even the best thing to do because you have an opportunity to maybe see something that I've missed that you could teach me if you start slowing down and studying what I may preach so fast or what a teacher may preach so fast in youth or elementary or in here, either way. But not only that, I mean, the Word of God tells us to correct for correction, for reproof, that you know, that all the Word is for that. And it's for our doctrine. And so I need that. So I challenge you, if you have trouble getting started studying, take notes and study those notes through the week. You may see something new or something fresh, or you may have a more knowing when you come in the next week, because a lot of times we follow where we're at in our classes and stuff. So I thought it would be a good idea. This morning, I just want to make a few points before we get into another subject. And right off the bat, something that a lot of people don't think about, but most people think is a truth that is not. Asking Jesus into your heart, I want you to understand, has nothing to do with a soul being saved. That make a lot of people mad today. But they're making Reese mad already. But asking Jesus into your heart has nothing to do with a soul being saved. It doesn't. Not according to me, but according to the gospel of Christ. And the Word of God says that's the power unto salvation. And so if we make anything else but what the power of salvation is, it doesn't matter what you say in a prayer. You need to know what it is to be saved and how to be saved, how your soul is saved. And so right off the bat in Romans 1:16, if you'll turn to Romans 1:16. In Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul, in his letter, writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," you notice it's not, it doesn't say "for it and some others." It's not plural at all. It's very specific. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So the issue is the power of salvation to everyone that believeth has to deal with the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. Well, what is the good news of Christ? For today, this gospel is clear as can be, and there's no prayer in it, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now, this message I'm doing is going to take 2 to 3 weeks. I'm not going to hurry. I'm going to stop in time because I don't want to overwhelm you. But I want you to see these scriptures, and I want them to be clear so you can share with others the power of salvation. So 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, "Moreover, brethren," this is the Apostle Paul again, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received," that's that gospel of Christ, "which ye have also received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you," that's the gospel of Christ, the power unto salvation, of course, "unless you have believed in vain." Vain is just, unless it was just meaningless to you, pretty much. And then in verse 3 says, "For I delivered," he goes on to tell you what he preached, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now Paul has made a declaration, a gospel that he preached to you, which is the power unto salvation, and that you trust in what the Scriptures say. That He has died for your sins, okay? That He was buried and rose again the third day. That's it. That's the power of salvation, to trust unless you've believed in vain or unless it's just meaningless to you. And those things that are meaningless, you'll always try to find another way. And so today, even in churches, people don't understand this. They just tell people to ask Jesus into their heart as their soul is saved. They tell them to count on that for the power of salvation. That's not the power of salvation at all. People need to know what the power of salvation is. See, after we read these four verses, it's clear salvation is done without you having to ask anything. It was done on the cross over 2,000 years ago. The power of salvation was taken care of over 2,000 years ago on the cross, before you did anything. Now, reconciliation between us was from God. It was by God, being the finished work of the risen Savior. The only reason you have a reconciliation, the only reason you are back with God, is if you have trusted in what Christ did over 2,000 years ago. So it's not about confession. but the finished work of the cross. It's not about a prayer that you pray, but it's about the finished work of the cross. Now also today, there's a word that is so hard for people to understand because they've always been taught a certain way. And the problem with most of this, in these words that mean something, usually something else, the problem with these words is man has gotten so used to tradition. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way the church down the road did it. This is the way they taught me in school. And it has nothing to do with the specifics of what the Word of God says. So there's also this word that people have a hard time understanding, being the word repent. Okay? Repent means, of course, a change of heart or a change of mind. It has never meant what I was always taught growing up. You know, you're walking this way in your life and you're doing all these things. And when you repent, it means that you turn around and you go the other way. That's the picture they always gave. But repent, to be repentant, is to have a change of heart. It's to have a change of mind. But it's always preached that you need to turn another way. And this is preached. You know why it's preached this way? Because it's tradition. It's because people read the Word all the time. They don't think about what it says. And they trust in what man has always preached, what the schools have always said. Therefore, you have people that would get irritated at what I'm preaching this morning. But let's be clear. It doesn't make it right because it's tradition. It doesn't make it where it says, well, we've always done it that way, so we're just going to, I know what you're saying, but we're just going to keep doing it this way. That's crazy. That's insane. But that's what we've done. In fact, it's clearly wrong. There are scriptures that even speak of God being repentant. So repentant means a change of heart, a change of mind. Scripture's clear. It needs to be clear, especially, and that doesn't mean the other isn't important, but especially when it comes to salvation, guys. I mean, that is so important. Now, if you could turn from sin, when you talk about people think repentance means something besides a change of heart and a change of mind, if you could turn from sin to merit your salvation, if that's what you needed to do, would that not be works? That would be you doing something. The Scripture is clear that we are not saved by works of righteousness. Go to Titus chapter 3. And let's look at verse 4 and 5. Now, I'm going to give you time. We're going to turn to these Scriptures. I hope you mark them, or this will be on the radio next week if you need to listen to it, take notes, or whatever. But these are important Scriptures for the doctrine of this church. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, but after that the kindness, notice it was after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. What was that kindness? Unless you believed in vain, you know what it was. That He died for your sins, that He was buried and He arose again the third day. Conquering death, conquering your penalty, like Paul said this morning, taking sin for you. It says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, what's the next three words? Not by works of righteousness. It's not by you going down one way in your life and you making a turn. That's works. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, what did He do? He saved us. That fits with 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 perfectly, doesn't it? It fits perfectly. He died for your sins, you know. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Were there any works at all you did in that? Absolutely not. So those are two terms we see today that are wrong when it comes to saving your soul. Asking Jesus into your heart and telling people they need to repent from their sins. So don't get me wrong. We need to be repentant when we do wrong. That's a truth. But it has nothing to do with our salvation. Okay? There's another term today that I'm going to stay on for a few weeks. And that term today that people use when it comes to being saved, besides repented or ask Jesus in their heart. You know what it is? I've had so many people when I was a kid or in school or somewhere that would mean well, and they always came up to me and they would want to evangelize and talk to me. You know what they would always ask me? They would always ask me if I was born again. And I've always loosely just said, well, that, you know, I'm not going to worry about that. But I'm going to tell you what, that's a wrong statement. That's a statement we need not make when we evangelize. That's a statement that has nothing to do with us. That's a statement that's really made two times, once by Peter and once by Jesus Christ. And it's a statement that was made only to Israel. And so when you use the term that I'm born again, which is used, I'm telling you, it'll be used 100 times today, at least. Okay? And I thought about this. I said, today being born again is used all over. It will be mentioned over and over today in churches all over the place. It's spoken as the way of being saved. I think you would agree. That's what it's spoken. I've done it, you know. But now that I see the word clearly, now that I see the truth, there's a lot of things I've learned. When somebody says, I'm born again, they're usually saying they're a Christian. I mean, when the normal person every day comes up and says, I'm born again, they are saying that they're a Christian. They're not given a denomination. They're just being known as a saved person, right? Well, how can we be born again? Think of the term, born again. And I always thought about that. I always heard the scripture about, was it Nicodemus? You know? Well, let's think about it. Go to Exodus chapter 4 and look at verse 22. Read it 100 times, but never thought about it until I slowed down. Until I took notes. Until I studied. Until I realized that words mean exactly what words say. Well, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22... notice what the Word of God says in the Old Testament. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, makes total sense. Did you notice that this was God's firstborn? That it was Israel? It wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Israel. Many think it was Jesus because they go straight to John 3 and they see this word, only begotten son. But that word begotten has nothing to do with a manger scene. It has nothing to do with a birth. It speaks that the same as in Psalms 2 and Acts 13. So I'll tell you what, let's look at this firstborn and let's know that scriptures don't lie. They say what they say. And Israel was the firstborn son. And think about it. When we're out of here in this grace dispensation, and when the times of refreshing comes, makes a little sense, don't it? Guess who's going to be born again? Israel. And so it finally fits. It's so understanding now. The reason Nicodemus didn't understand it is because Christ was walking the earth wanting to set the kingdom up. If Israel would believe then, they'd have been born again. They would have had glorified bodies. But today it's in the times of refreshing. And that's what that term born again means. And that's why it's always shared by Peter and by Jesus when he is walking on the earth. And so today we use that term wrongly. I tell you what, let's cover this John 3:16 where people think that that's the birth. Go to Psalms 2 chapter 7. Psalms 2 chapter 7. This fits with John 3:16. Psalms 2:7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That begotten is a term used towards the cross. Okay? That's what that's used. Tell you what, go to Acts 13 and look at verse 32. Acts 13:32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he, what's it talking about here? Raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Do you understand the scripture? This begotten means the resurrection. That's dealing with the resurrection that Israel was told in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they never had an understanding. And in John 3:16, that's exactly what that means. The beginning was of the resurrection of your Savior. You can run around town and you can claim that you're born again, that you're a born again Christian. But you know what? You can also run around town and claim that you're Elvis. Doesn't make you Elvis. We had a guy, wasn't a guy come in from work yesterday, buying a car, looking like Elvis.
He handed out CDs of him singing Elvis.
Brought CDs of him singing Elvis. Can I tell you something? It wasn't Elvis. If he were to come in saying, I'm a born again Christian, can I tell you what? He's wrong. He's not Israel. Okay? So, you can say what you want. Especially if you don't think words are important and mean what they say. And so, saying you're a born-again Christian doesn't make you saved. A lot of times you followed the wrong doctrine. And you don't understand 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. The product, guys, of salvation is the fact that you're a new creature. Not born again, but a new creature. It's a product of grace, what Christ did, nothing you did, through faith. Not your faith, through Him being faithful. And what He did, everything that He did, and trusting in that. Not you accepting the Lord. Instead, a lot of times we got this idea that we accepted the Lord. But I think something instead, it's you being accepted of Jesus. It's by God's Holy Spirit placing you into union with all other believers, in union with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's what salvation is. And it's nothing you've done. It's everything He's done. So, you don't become born again today. You're not going to be born again in the times of refreshing. Instead, when you're saved, and Paul, you preached this morning that we are in Jesus Christ in heaven, right? That's where we're at. We're a new creature. There's no born again, okay? In the times of refreshing, it's being the body is what we are. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It doesn't say he is born again. It says he is a new creature. Look at this. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's no rebirth. Those old things are passed away. They're crucified. They're crucified with Christ. And you live, but yet it's Christ who lives in you. It's not you that lives. And so you got to understand that. Now, you may be thinking, man, he's making a big deal over nothing, but give me time to get to my point here, okay? If you're a new creature, then what sense, if you say, well, it's the same thing, new creature, born again. That's what a lot of people say. They'll look at most scriptures and say, it means the same. Well, no, it doesn't. Think about it. If you're a new creature, then what sense would the word again and born again work? Wouldn't make any sense at all. You're not born the same person. You're a new creature. You're not born again. Okay? Now, what was previously born again? What was previously born? It was Israel. Go to Hosea 11:1. Are y'all with me? Okay, good. We'll make sure. Kind of quiet. Probably think I'm crazy right now. Hosea 11, verse 1. Notice, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now remember Exodus 4:22 I read, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now God is calling out Israel from Egypt and calls them what? His son. This is clear, ain't it? It's clear in the Word. We see it clearly that God calls Israel His son. Have you ever seen it before? I never saw. Probably read it 100 times, but I never saw it before. Does it matter? Does it matter whether you've ever seen it before or not? It's still there, and it always has been, whether you've seen it or not. You can't deny it. Remember, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study." To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Guys, we need not be ashamed. And today, because of tradition, some people make a mess out of words. And today, there's churches everywhere that make a mess out of words. They follow tradition. Tradition makes a mess of truth many times. Asking Jesus into your heart to be saved, that's works. Telling those they need to turn from their sins to be saved. I think we do need to turn from our sins, but not as a definition of repentance. Not as a definition of being saved. Salvation isn't about turning. It's about understanding. Understanding that you are the sinner for who Christ died, that the death, burial, and the resurrection counts as payment for your sins. When you trust this payment, God saves your soul. You can say you're born again, but it doesn't make it true. Born again will be Israel. We've got to know that. In the times of refreshing, they will be born again. They're the only ones because they were the firstborn. Okay? They will be born again. We are not a rebirth. What were we? We are crucified with Christ. It's important that we call things as they are. Amen? Very important. And we're going to continue this next week, and we'll cover some more ground. But study this week on born again. See how many times you find it in the Word of God and who it speaks to. It's important what words mean. I'm not going to be born again, and neither are you. Saved or not saved, you're not going to be born again. Not in this dispensation. Because in the age of grace, we're a new creature. We become part of the body of Christ. We don't need to be born again. We become part of the body of Christ. We become flesh of His flesh and bone of His bones. Amen? So be careful. It's a great way when somebody comes up and asks you, are you born again? You can say, no, I'm not. Because you're going to make their day. You know what they're going to do? Is share salvation with you. And you know what you get to do? Share salvation with them.